Okay, it is 6:30 p.m. on September 1st for the Alloway Village Board meeting. In the absence of the village president, I will call the meeting to order with roll call. Trustee Harris?
Here.
Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Green?
Here.
Trustee Dennis?
Here.
Excused are President Gass, Trustee Rafter, and Trustee Atwood. At this time, I will take nominations for a temporary chair.
I nominate Lynn Green.
I'll second that.
Are there any other nominations? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, please bear with me. I think this is my first time ever doing this, so the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Women are kind of the center power of Georgia.
That's a change.
That is a change.
No response.
Any move to modify or adopt the agenda?
Motion to adopt as presented.
Yeah, and actually, Kim. With everybody's permission, if we can move up 12, which is regarding permitting and beekeeping within the village.
And where would we like to move?
Yeah, let's move that right under announcements.
I'll make a motion to accept the agenda as modified.
Second. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And announcements. This one's yours.
Okay, our first announcement is that Carrie Zitlow has been appointed as the deputy clerk, and that took effect on Tuesday, August 25th. Next, we had a resignation from Rob Giel from the Park, Rec, and Forestry Committee. If you know of anyone interested in filling that position, please have them see us at the Village Hall. And I think Brad's going to take the budget schedule.
Brad, have you got the budget schedule?
Did you want to add anything else? It's in the packet.
It's in the packet.
Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to make everybody aware of the upcoming dates.
And budget meetings are open to the public, so please attend. We would like as much input as possible, either beforehand or come to the meetings. Don't hesitate. And then moving item 12 up, we have several members of our public here for beekeeping discussions. So I'd actually like to open it up, if it's okay with the board, to you all first. And
do it from here?
Actually, we'd like you to come to the podium and say your name and your address.
Okay.
And Mr. Morris actually wrote the original letter starting this.
Rob Morris, 2701 Greenwald Street, Alloway, accompanied by Tammy Cornett, same address, and Ken Sikora, who is the president of the Brown County Beekeepers Association. And greetings.
Thank you. Any comments you all have regarding beekeeping within the village? Because I know you originally sent us a letter several months back inquiring regarding changing the ordinance. So I'm just going to get your input on how you see beekeeping in the village before we open it up.
A slight digression historically. I've noticed a real diminishing population in honeybees. The pollinators are still around, butterflies, bumblebees, wasps, and stuff, but no honeybees. In my yard this summer, I've hardly seen any. That's alarming to me. And there's reasons for this. There's big studies going on, not only the collapse of the hives, but just general environment. And I think especially like a place this, like it's Alloy, it just makes sense to have more bees, more hives, more availability of bees, honeybees. So that's what we're proposing, that the change in the ordinance doesn't read no bees. There's some accommodation to people who have bees, and Green Bay City does have bees, ordinance for bees. Several communities around do, so it can be modeled after those communities.
Do neighbors really get opposed to you beekeeping or people beekeeping? You know, from there must be a reason we have it in our ordinance because people are afraid of getting stung, and there's probably some people that object to that. I can understand why you want to keep bees. I mean, I think they're important on bees, but is there any evidence that there's a lot of stings? Or
I'm Ken Sikora, and like Rob said, I'm president of Alkali Beekeepers, been doing it for 25 years, and I don't know of any incidents like through the city of Green Bay. They've had it 4 or 5 years now, beekeeping, so there's no feedback from them. I keep bees. I have 7 hives in Howard, and I'm 100 feet. Well, my bees are roughly 75 feet from a daycare center.
Oh, really?
And I have no problem. Now, they are on one side of a barn, so the bees are going this way. The daycare center is this way. And that's basically what you need. And some kind of a fence, 5-foot, 6-foot fence. And the hives, when the bees leave the hive, they come out, and they got, once they get over the fence, then they keep on going up, and then there's no interference with the neighbors. I don't know that it's a requirement anywhere that you have to let the neighbors know. I'm sure it would be good to talk to them, but as far as posting it, I don't think it's a requirement anywhere.
Are there density limitations in terms of the amount of hives or amount of,
I think
a specific count of bees within a certain area?
I believe Green Bay allows 2. Let me just read this. Manner of beekeeping, there shall be a flyway consisting of a solid wall fence, vegetation, or combination, at least 6 feet in height, 25 feet of an apiary within. And no hive may house a colony of insects other than honeybees. You have to get permit, and it's controlled by the humane officer. All hives shall have comb kept in sound, reasonable condition. They don't say anything about a number of hives.
And that's within the Green Bay ordinance?
This is the Green Bay ordinance. You're welcome to have this if you want.
Thank you.
I got it also, and I just got it off of online.
I just used some scratch paper and recycled it and made a copy. So, but bees are friendly. I do have out of my 7, maybe 1 that's a little more aggressive, but that's only when I go into the hive. And we have our garden near the hive, and I can go in and peek at the top, pick the cover off the top of the hive and look in and get an idea of what they're doing without being dressed up. But it's when you really take the hive apart, then become a little more aggressive. But otherwise, they're very friendly.
Okay.
It's a fun hobby, and it's a beneficial hobby. We need the pollinators. The honey is good for you. And so we've come around to, the public has been more aware of, since 1997, we've been aware of colony collapse where the bees have gone, they've disappeared because of pesticides. And we have a problem with pesticides, poor nutrition, not enough gardens, for example. And we also have pesticides. We have a mite that, it's like a woodtick kind of bee, very small, sucks the blood out, and then creates some viruses and diseases. And so we have to, as beekeepers, monitor and then treat for mites. Doesn't harm the honey or anything like that, but it's just we're trying to get the bees through winter and basically stop importing bees from the south. We get all our bees from Texas, those areas in the south, Florida, and whatnot. So.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Thanks for
ask a question about why you don't want to get the bees from further south.
Pardon?
Why didn't you want to get the bees from further south?
Well, if we can get them from the north here, they're more acclimatized to our weather, and they'll survive the weather.
Sure.
Otherwise, you bring them up from the south, and sometimes you're lucky to get them through the winter. Because
yeah, we all feel like we wait that sometimes.
Especially the last two.
Right.
Okay.
So,
do you have an approximate idea of how many bees you have per hive? I mean, just curiosity.
Yes, yeah, so you start out with maybe 15,000 when you buy a package, and you end up with, you try going into winter with like 50,000, 60,000 bees.
Is there an ideal number of hives that you have to work with to do what you want to do?
Well, we tell the beginners start out with two so that you have some comparison. One hive might be failing, and then the other hive you can see is not failing, and why, you know, you can do a comparison. But otherwise, advantages, you can oversaturate your yard. If there isn't the forage in the area, then you're not going to get the honey, and then the bees are going to be short of food and that thing too. So it's always, we always tell the people, what's in your area? Where the bees get, they'll fly, they'll forage for 2.5-3 months.
Okay. And is that an average area for them to travel and to locate into for purposes of living and or pollinating and or doing whatever they do?
All they're trying to do is collect the nectar from the plants. And, of course, the flower wants the bees to come to the flower so that they can shake the pollen off onto the bee. And the bee has a fidelity to flowers. It starts out with one type of flower. It'll stick with it. So that pollen goes from one flower to the next, say apple trees, which needs the pollination.
And you have a resource for anyone interested in the area to turn to with regard to question or setup or whatever they want to begin their process.
Well, you can email, Brown County Beekeepers, we have a website. I'm the president. You can email me. My email address is on the website. And we have bee identification pictures on the website.
Their meetings are really interesting, too. Really interesting.
We meet at the Botanical Gardens.
Like bees to honey.
Pardon?
Like bees to honey at the Botanical Gardens.
Yeah.
Are there any hives at the Botanical Gardens?
Well, we did have. We were using it as a teaching hive, but the one member that was taking care of it was kind of busy, and so I took the hive to my yard. And anyone that's interested in going through a hive, that's where I do it, instead of going back and forth to the Botanical Gardens. But that was the only reason we had one there. Our club meets there, and then we had one for teaching. But by rights, we should have another one just there. I know the gardens like it, too, because people wandering through the gardens like to see, there's bees here and there, and it looks like things are active. So that'll be, we'll probably do it again. Bring another hive or two there. So they're very acceptable to it.
Is there an ideal number of hives you'd have? In other words, you wouldn't want to go beyond a certain number per location or site?
Well, it takes a little bit of time to manage them and a little bit of work. You suit up, but the day may be warm and hot. And so it's your own choice. And then if you've got too many hives, like I say, you're going to be short of honey because there isn't enough forage for the bees. So one or two might create more honey, get more honey production because of what you have in your area, and then it might be better to have your other hives somewhere else in another area. There's always people looking for bees to be placed on their property, orchards and whatnot, gardens. Just aren't enough beekeepers.
Is there an ideal time of year to begin the process? I'm just wondering if we were to look at altering the ordinance to allow this, by the time we would get it prepared and potentially approved, are we too late for 2015 and it wouldn't matter? I'm just wondering about, is there any sense of urgency, for lack of better words, for 2015?
No, I wouldn't recommend anyone buy bees now because the nectar flow is basically over with. Mm-hmm. And so what new beekeepers should do is do a lot of reading over the winter and then join our club, to learn. Basically spend the winter learning this year and then purchasing packages in the spring.
Okay. Thank you.
How many beekeepers do you currently have in the Brown County area?
Well, we go beyond the county. We have 110 members, and we can go all the way to Sturgeon Bay, Washington Island, Kewaunee, all the way over to Shawano, O'Connor Falls. Appleton does not have a club, so we get people from Appleton, and that's pretty much, we're in a big geographical area. So I would say maybe a dozen from Green Bay area, the city. I'm in Howard. There's a few out there. And all total 110. There's a lot of women in beekeeping, believe it or not, so they like the hobby sometimes more than their husband. And so it's a good thing.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for hearing me.
Administrator Lang.
Yes, I just have a question.
Thanks.
Would there be consideration, or what would be the potential of, instead of having in addition to hopefully our community garden, a community bee area, like around our detention ponds, which are full of wildflowers that bloom various times of the spring through fall, and that as another alternative to having them in someone's backyard, you can do something similar to that. Just thought I'd throw that out to you.
Our community being,
I'd be the first.
More of that, I don't know.
Yeah, people are always looking. Like you see, sometimes you can have too many hives in one yard, not enough forage available, so you want to spread out your hives. And some people are in for the honey production. And that's the way you can get up.
I think I'll follow through with you, Robin. We can talk a little bit more.
Good. A question. Is that something that we might be able to do with local FFA chapter as well?
Ooh.
In combination with the village?
Possible. Or
I mean, is it
open?
Sure. Is it site for? I mean, I'm trying to head in that direction as something that a community enrichment.
Senior Center. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other? Public Works
Manager. A little bit of information. My two sons and myself, we also have beehives and had them for a couple of years. The bees are pretty docile. In 2 years of handling bees, and we generally don't wear the coats and hats and everything else. I've been stung once in 2 years, and my youngest son, I think, has been stung 3 times in 2 years, even taking the hives apart and stuff. They really don't bother you. The only time we've been stung is if they get under your hat or under your gloves and they can't get out, and then they react. But they're quite docile, and it's kind of a unique activity. The only thing I would say is if you're going to have them in town, you just don't want to put them where little kids can get around them. You want them somewhere where they're maybe sight unseen, if you will. And I know when we put them out at our camp this past year, we had them in town, we put them out at our camp, and the rest of the group was kind of reluctant to have the bees out there because they didn't understand them. And once they saw what a beehive was like, we actually built a bee house to kind of protect them in the winter, because the winter is rough on the bees up here. And once they saw what they were like, they'll go out there even with the kids, and they'll sit about 10, 15 feet away and watch them going in and out all day. So they're kind of a neat, it's kind of a neat hobby.
They are. When we were chatting about this earlier, we were worried about yards, for example, our tree platform. We have some yards where it's just, they're too small. There's nowhere they could put them that it wouldn't interfere with neighbors. So wanted to make sure people had an opportunity to go somewhere. And I love your idea, too, of having them around the ponds, because there's tons of food for them around there and lots of area.
Thank you.
Any other public comment regarding bees? Okay, hearing none, we'll close public comments regarding bees. This was on as a discussion item. Does that mean we can refer it to Park and Rec for discussion regarding bees around the ponds at this point?
The consensus would be to look into it.
Okay. Moving on to number four, public appearances. You can speak on any topic you wish, but we can only take action on what is listed on the agenda. Clarence.
Clarence, 26680, South Webster. First, I'd like to ask Mr. Harris to speak in the microphone because I couldn't hear what he said. I'm using the telephone system today. It doesn't work as good as my earphones. I forgot that. Next. How many of you had the opportunity to read my memo to you today? I know that you did. You did.
Only a little bit earlier.
Okay. I would ask that you read that before you go into that closed session. Are you still going to have that session with only four of you here?
We are, because we need to at least start some discussions regarding.
Maybe science. My part of my letter was was premature when I was commenting on the lack of absence. Anyhow, regarding that windfall from the county, I think that Brad had mentioned this. If he didn't, I would state that before you allocate any of that money, it would be advisable to have an informal public hearing. You're not required to have that, but it would be nice to get citizen input how to use that money. My personal preference would see almost all of it used for debt reduction, and maybe some of it go toward roads, or maybe even economic development. What's the other thing here? Oh, I'm quite surprised to see there's seven items back on the agenda. That was established by Brad, Randy, and I would intervene as well. If you can't do that, it's illegal. So if you have a problem with a conflict of interest with the Public Service Commission, I think the thing you would want to do then is contact them, ask them to postpone any action or their studies until after your budget time, when you know what you're doing correctly.
Right, and we can add, if we decide the fire protection charge, at least my understanding, even after the PSC is filed, we can add that at a later date. It doesn't have to be done tonight.
Yeah, so I can't, but you can't designate money now outside of the budget process. Agree with me?
It's making life interesting.
Yeah, and if you were going to attempt to do it, at the very least, you should consult with your legal counsel. And I'm 99.44% sure that he will agree with me. Thank you for listening again.
Thank you. Any other public appearances tonight? Jim?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the Friends of the Fox River Trail in the Fox Wisconsin Heritage Parkway on September 15th. We'll be doing a buckthorn cleanup and removal of the invasive invasive species along the Fox River Trail, and we'll be meeting at the DePere Boat Launch at the edge of the village of Alloway, and we'll be going from 8:30 until noon. And if anybody would like to join us, we have 25 people signed up already, and they can call me or text me at 920-660-7325. So that's going to be on a Tuesday morning from 8:30 until noon. Thanks.
Thank you. And there's certainly a lot of it down there. Any other public appearances tonight? All right, moving on. Public hearing to consider conditional use request from Labor Ready Incorporated to continue using the property at 1401 South Webster Avenue, which is zoned highway business use, for their continued commercial office. And the duration that we had approved this for was for 2 years. Yes, sir.
I'm Dennis Darner, and on the property on 1401 South Webster. Labor Ready has been in there since 1998, and since that time, there's never been one police call to that place that I'm aware of. So,
go ahead.
I guess it's just a formality to just going there.
It is.
Yeah.
So, we'll have public appearances, and then it'll formally get addressed. And so that's the next agenda item. And then you're done with it okay. being processed for this time
yeah.
for the conditional use.
Just you can stay in there until the remainder of the lease, because I think they've been a pretty good tenant all these years. So.
Go ahead.
How long is their lease yet?
Well, they signed 5-year leases, obviously.
And
we got 2.5 years left on the lease, yeah.
Okay, so if we do this for 2 years.
Yeah, well, that'll be good enough. By that time, we'll be in the process of renewing it again. So.
And at that time, if we need to rezone, that's a possibility. If they're going to be in there.
Yeah,
if we know they're going to be in there.
Yeah, see, I have an offer to purchase on the property. So
yes, I think we've discussed that, yes.
I'm thinking about going that road. So
okay.
I'm getting to the age, I just want to retire and take it easy. So then the next step would be what?
The next step is the next agenda item, which it's addressed and either passed or not, and then you're done with this process cycle. Thank you. Any other public appearances regarding labor-ready conditional use? Clarence.
I'll just do that from here. I'm surprised that it's a conditional use rather than just going and rezoning for commercial. See, I've been used for highway business use for 4 years.
Can I answer that?
Yes.
It's been proposed. That it's been proposed that we rezone it at Plan Commission, but this gentleman, Mr. Dornholm.
I'm in front of it. This telegram doesn't
okay.
work as well as my other system. So
they have an offer to purchase or something in the works right now
okay.
where the usage would be conducive to the current zoning. If that doesn't go through, then we'd certainly want to rezone it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Here's a question.
No, it's a good one because they've had conditional use permits for almost
yeah.
20 years now, I believe. So
yeah, it probably should have been rezoned a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Any other public appearances regarding Labor Ready? All right. Hearing none, moving on to item 6, action regarding conditional use request. Do I have a motion to approve?
What period of time are we looking at? I want to double check that, please.
It was two years.
From today, or extend on for the balance of 15 and all of 2016 and 17? I'm not sure of this actual end point. I believe the gentleman said his lease is 2.5 years. So that's why I want to double check the exact amount of time.
Well, I think we did. I missed that board meeting, but I think that. Plan Commission did 18 months, and then when I went to the board, it said 2 years. And is it from 8/4/15? Is that what Trevor has?
No, that was the last time it was discussed.
Okay,
that was the last board meeting.
I don't know the date.
I don't think the motion specified.
It was just 2 years.
Right.
Okay.
So
I just want to make sure that we're getting everyone taken care of properly. That's all.
When we know the end of our 2 years, right?
We didn't know the end of the last 5 years, and it was still operating.
But we're keeping a closer look on that.
All right, so motion made by Trustee Harris.
With what end? I still don't understand what end date we're looking at.
Can we look at a start date of 9/1?
That'd be fine with me, yes.
And then 2 years from today. So I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, item number 7, action, implementing funding of $500,000 for annual street maintenance in the public works operating budget. Craig.
Again, a continuation of what we discussed at the last meeting. The reason this is brought forward is twofold. One, to get on the table that we need to be talking about more funding for street maintenance and repairs, because long term we need to budget more in the budget process to be able to do the level of repairs that we need to do and to catch up with routine maintenance of the streets. But we started this process when we did because we're doing a rate application with Public Service Commission for the water utility. If we wanted to use more of the fire protection charge, if we wanted to do a shift with the fire protection charge, it would have to be part of that rate case. Now, we do have a little bit of time because it doesn't affect the water rate, and we can make an adjustment on the fire protection charge while the rate case is going through the process. So, considering you don't have everyone here this evening, we could wait on that issue to the next board meeting, and we still have plenty of time to deal with that. What we did provide was a little more information to address some of the questions that came up at the last meeting, and it's summarized in the information that was in the packet, and just a couple key points. You know, this can be a combination of fire protection charge, a budgeted item within Public Works, or a supplement from the budget surplus, from the general fund surplus, or the stadium tax, if that is an acceptable mechanism. So there may be multiple sources to consider, and it can't be done over time. Our goal is really to get to the point where there's enough funding so we can maintain our roads, catch up with what we need to do in the next 7-8 years, and then maintain them properly afterwards. At the current level, we're just not going to be able to keep up with the road work. A few other points that are covered in here. All of the communities are going to be faced with the same thing we are. And when I say the communities, I mean the water, Central Brown County Water Authority communities. And in as far as Green Bay Metro Sewerage District, all of the communities as well that are served by them. All the communities are going to have a sanitary sewer rate increase, same as we are. And all the water authority communities are faced with rate increases as well, whether it's right now or 6 months from now or next year, because of the rate increases from the water authority. The point being that we're going to be roughly in the same range compared to the other communities in the future as we are now, with the rates going up for these two utilities. We're probably looking at a $5 rate increase, $5.50 rate increase, somewhere in that range between water and sewer, in addition to what we would do with the fire protection charge. That's a rough idea of what it will be. Obviously, in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, we'll probably have all the rates because we will be in the budget process, so you'll have a more definitive estimate of what they'll be. All of the communities in the metro area already direct bill the fire protection charge. We are the only community that doesn't direct bill the full fire protection charge, except for Howard does not bill about $50,000 of the fire protection charge, and I think the reason they do that is because they exempted their municipal properties. and let that be on the tax roll. But the rest of their approximately $650,000 fire protection charge is a direct bill. So we're the only one that does not direct bill the entire charge, which I was a little surprised at. I thought it was a mix, but when I went through the PFC and looked at those rates, they were all direct bill. If you do direct bill the fire protection charge, I included the analysis from back in 2008 when we looked at this issue the first time, and it's between $4 and $5 per average customer, the decrease in the cost because of the direct bill of the fire protection charge for all metered properties, because it picks up more properties than what we do right now. So there is a slight decrease on that. Howard does do a bill based on properties, not on meters. That may be something in the future you want to look at. That does lower the average cost because all properties are covered. But I know that's kind of a complex issue, and it's not one that we could address right now. But it was one we talked about back in 2008, but we never did decide to go ahead and investigate that in more detail. So that's where we're at. I guess you have a couple of options. You can look at trying to go through the budget process and the fire protection charge and reach that $500,000 level, or phase it in over a couple of years, 2 years or 3 years, and reach that level, whatever you feel most appropriate. There are some options to do that. We would need to, in the next few weeks, we would need to decide if we're going to modify the fire protection charge and get that into the process. We'll be submitting the rate case after this meeting fairly soon, as soon as we review the documentation and it's ready to go. Sometime after that, we'd have to address the fire protection issue. It probably will be 60 to 90 days, at least 60 days before we get review comments back, probably closer to 90. So that puts us probably in November. December, we'd be scheduled a public hearing, so that's kind of the schedule.
Great, thank you. And Brad, have the rules been released to the monies to come back from the stadium? And then it was talk about those being specified for specific uses.
Correct. It's economic development, debt reduction, and property tax relief. Those are the three areas, but they're a little broad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the idea, Mr. Matuszek brought up, is that's what we're going to be discussing in the very near future. Economic Development Committee is going to be talking about what potentials could be utilized with the stadium tax refund. So trying to get the economic aspect. But eventually we need a public hearing or a public information meeting so that, you know, we can get some good ideas. I mean, it's a lot of money, and it's something that we want to make sure we're putting into the appropriate use.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Discussion amongst the board. And for the benefit of those listening afterwards, Trustee Atwood's now with us.
So, in essence, it comes down to we're behind on repair, replacement of roads. We're going to need to spend more. The target at this point would be increasing to approximately $500,000 a year of what we would need to spend on road repair to catch up for the previous X amount of time. And our choices are a combination of increasing the fire protection charge, increasing the tax rate, or borrowing, or not using or not spending all the $500,000. So those are the four things we need to balance together. And Clarence nodded sarcastically. Did you hear me? Okay, good.
I changed here for that help.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion amongst the board for tonight?
We can defer this for a short period of time and still not have it affect our ultimate plan of what we want to do. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Brad?
I'm just two questions, and I could have asked Greg, but he's been busy and I've been busy. What is the potential of asking Public Service Commission not to rule on anything at this time? Can they push that process back at all, and what does that do to us as a community? And two, we've been working on our new CIP plan. Claire's been spending many hours putting that together, trying to capture all the other potential projects that we foresee in the next 5 years to 10 years. So that's all going to be brought to you during the budget process as well.
The rate, water utility rate, we should be able to implement in January. We need to target for that because it's been 3 years since we've had a rate adjustment. We're basically at the point where we're losing money in the water utility, and so starting with January is when we want to be in place with the new rate. So if we put it off, what happens is we lose money starting next year. So, but we have enough time between now and then to take care of this. And you've got the budget process coming up, so.
Great, thank you. Any other board comments for tonight?
And do we need to make a motion to put it on a different agenda?
I would suggest we defer it to next meeting.
We need a motion
to
do that.
We're missing two of our members tonight. I would love a motion to do that.
I make that motion.
Is there a second? Thank you.
Who was the second?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item number 8, public input regarding corridor study. Brad.
Well, this would be an opportune time to ask if any of those in attendance would like to make any comments on the corridor study itself. That was part of the discussion that was made in July by President Gass to try to gather some additional input from various committees. So Trevor has sent it to Zoning and Planning, Historic, Public Works is going to be addressing it in the next week, Park and Rec. So we're trying to make sure that everyone is comfortable with it. Plan Commission talked about it last night, and kind of where we're at with the process and making sure that once the corridor study is approved, that it is integrated into the comprehensive plan to make sure that it's consistent. So yeah, we haven't received any feedback other than the attendance, I think, at the public meetings was certainly a positive. Mm-hmm. I think the plan itself was proposed was very well done. I think our process worked out really well. I can't thank the residents that took the time to come in enough because it's our plan. So, and again, it's one of those that if you keep it in front of everyone, it doesn't get put on the shelf, and that's where we don't want it to go.
Well, they were very well attended. I was very impressed. With the consensus of the board, we'll open it up if there's any more comments tonight from the public we have. Any public comments regarding the corridor study tonight? Jen.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd like to see the corridor study completed for the area south of 172 to the De Pere border. We have some unique opportunities there. We have undeveloped state park, where we have our retention ponds. So the neighborhood on Taft Street should have access to that park, and that should be fully developed with some landscape architects and that type of thing. And then also the land near Willowbrook Office Center that's owned by the Scoggs. So I'd like to see there was another phase that was planned for this study, and I'd like to see that part of the study completed and funded. Thanks.
Thank you. Any Any other public comment regarding the corridor study? Thank you. Brad, what action do you need from us tonight regarding public input?
Nothing at this point.
Okay. Item number 9, resolution thanking Sherry Conkle for her years of service with the Village of Alloway. For those of you who haven't met Sherry, she was the front face for a long time in Debbie's right hand. So, resolution 2015-28, Village of Alloway, be it resolved by the Village Board, the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Village Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Sherry Conkle for her 8 years of dedicated service. She was 6 years as our receptionist and 2 years as deputy clerk. Her commitment to the Village of Alloway, its residents, its staff, and her willingness to assume multiple responsibilities within the village, and to honor Sherry with the resolution in recognition of her excellent service to the Village of Alloway, passed and approved by the Village Board, Village of Alloway, this date, as of our vote.
I make a motion to approve that resolution.
Second.
Second, Matt. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number 10, request from Alloway Business Association to sell fermented malt beverages and wine at Green Isle Park December 8th, 2015 from 5 to 9 p.m. for their holiday party. Thank you. Second?
I'll say.
Any discussion?
Was there any issue with the definition of club?
Oh, that was interesting.
Yes.
Is it all, it's all taken care of? That was just educational purposes for us?
It's for you to take it as you see.
A club.
Understood.
I took it as their group that meets on a regular basis for a public benefit, so.
Like us.
And it's just that alcohol is normally not sold in parks, so that's the main thing.
However, we have approved this before for other groups, correct?
For, yes.
Motion to approve?
We have a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, consent agenda, item 11, and we'll take that as an aggregate if everybody is okay with that. Can we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the agendas A through E as presented.
Thank you. Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Report on Neighborhood Watch, D.O. Lopnow.
Before the summer, we had three new Neighborhood Watch groups formed. I've also been in touch with one other group that had been established on Blackhawk. I haven't had a chance to go to their meeting, apparently they meet monthly. And as of tonight, we're having a meeting later this month with Goldberg Street. So it's continuing to be a work in progress, and we'll keep that.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that. I know it was a little bit slow starting, but it sounds like it's going better.
And all the residents I've talked to are most appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
Item 14, report on recodification of the Village of Alloway Municipal Code by General Code.
I did present them. Did include the memo that General Code has provided us with copies of the code, which contains the manuscript and their editorial and legal analysis, and I did forward that to the board members and to staff to look over. Brad, I, and Trevor will meet next week with Attorney Duffy and decide how we'll proceed.
Right.
Will you be going through all of it at that time?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Because I started, and you don't want to.
No, it's huge.
It's not a real entertaining read.
No.
It's a huge task.
It is. Do we have it posted on our website for public input? Or is it too large for us to do that? I don't know that we have that much.
We could probably put a link.
If we could put a link to it in case we do have public input.
I don't know if that might then may cause confusion because, you know.
Then we've got our ordinances current
right.
And
right.
Okay. Something to think about.
If you look at the information that they had in there, it had a set of questions, and so we'll just start with that and
go from there.
All
right, item number 15, convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85(1)(c), considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. Do I have a motion to go into closed? Penny and Mark. Actually, we have to do roll call. Trustee Dennis?
That way.
Sorry.
Okay, we had a first and a second.
Yes.
Okay. First, second. Trustee Green, aye. Atwood?
Aye.
Dennis? It's a Harris.
Harris.
I'm at the wrong end of the table. We are in closed session.